This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
And Barnes and Liz.
There, are you happy now, Liz?
Yes. All right. Barnes is actually training for boxing, so he gets the hall pass today.
That's what he says. No, I don't know that I buy it, because earlier he was like, oh, I'm going to be there. Like, you don't know you're training? Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to be there. And then all of a sudden he's like, no, I can't make it. You know what was last minute training?
Do you know how good our second half of the show is, though? I think he would have been here. First half, no promises. It's the opening act, okay?
I don't know.
The main event?
Because I never find out who's on the show until we get here. But sometimes on a good day, I'll find out like an hour before.
Well, you've seen me on the Facebook chats every day. It's like, so who do we have?
Yeah.
So who do we have?
Jimmy's like, I need the songs for tonight, and who do we have? And Brad's like, just a minute.
Three days later.
He's like, I'll tell you at the break.
But all is right with the world. Don't worry, all is right.
It's officially episode 174. It's our last show of January of the year of 2016. Happy birthday, State of Michigan.
Yes. What are we, 178?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
None of you guys know.
Well, no, because 87 was 150.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So we're 179. We're 179.
All right.
Ah, too bad. This couldn't be episode 179.
Yeah, I don't
Damn
know.
Damn it. Why didn't we do five more episodes?
Because no time. But later on the show, we'll start backwards and move forwards. James Ballard, his whole team will be here, both trainers, his manager. It's going to be awesome. James Ballard is actually fighting February 6th. He's fighting at the Detroit Brawl, which is now brought to you by Greektown Casino at Masonic Temple.
That is an official
some
fight.
Some of our lovely ring girls will be working the fight, too.
That is an official fight. It's not just something that's going to break out in a bar.
No, that is an official fight. And James Ballard, one of the up-and-comers in the Detroit area, he's on the card. His whole team will be here. And then at the 8 o'clock hour, right about 8, Leandre Blue-White, who hasn't been on, I don't believe, since episode 1.
He's called in a few times.
Okay. But I think
you're
right.
He
was in studio for episode 1, and he hasn't been in studio, I don't think, since. But
so he got into it with Boozer, and everybody knows who I'm talking about, but I'll introduce him later on the internet. And we thought it would be fun to invite him back, because what happened is it started to cool down. Like last Wednesday, besides President Obama rocking Midtown and everything being cool, they started going crazy on it online. And I was like, this is great, dude. The stuff they were writing, I was like, this will be great for our show, right? You know, we'll play to a Detroit audience and let them go. Then it started to get like quiet. So today I had to like poke at it with like a poker and get them going again. Like, hey, you know what? Blue's on. So you better be on.
Right.
And I want to hear both sides of the story and let you guys go at it. And I'm very convinced it'll be good radio, because Boozer's like, is there any rules? And I was like, one rule. No rules. I was like, you go,
no
buddy.
No fish hooks, eye gouging.
You go. Now, in respect to Podcast Detroit, because they have done a wonderful job on our studio, and we do have a huge announcement for Podcast Detroit coming up.
Are they insured? Please tell me they're insured.
Well, no. I thought ahead. One of them will be here, one won't. So it's going to be over. I was not going to have the studio get trashed. Yeah, even though we are moving to new studios, this place is getting bigger.
Yeah. Very exciting.
There's going to be three radio stations running 24/7. Podcast Detroit made the announcement. So obviously Podcast Detroit's doing very well, and we're happy to be part of the family. And so congratulations,
I take most
Bob
of the credit for that.
And David. Exactly.
I mean, I had nothing to do with it, but I will take the credit.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I don't think through back channels you're like, is there a spot open for the man show somewhere in there? I was like,
oh, there's no back channels. I've already asked about it.
And I was given a resounding no.
No, actually, I was given a resounding please, please, please.
Oh, yeah.
They want to give me like 8 different slots and stuff because I'm so good.
Yeah, all at like 1, 2 in the morning?
It doesn't matter. It's a podcast. People listen whenever they want, Jimmy.
Right. They need a bigger studio for your head.
Whoa! They need a bigger studio for your ass. What do you think of that? Yeah, shots fired.
That's
there we go.
Thing.
Shot fired. Shots
that's
fired.
That's not a bad thing, though.
No, it's not, actually. I like a booty. Raise your hand if you don't like a booty. That's what I thought. Yeah. Thank you.
So let's make
I noticed even the girls had their hands down. They were like, hell yeah, I like a booty.
Anybody can appreciate a good booty.
And we are going to try to track down James Gray. I'm working on it again. We didn't get him last week, but he has tons of announcements for Scorpion Fighting Systems.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy, we talked about Podcast Detroit. My favorite show on the network right now, besides IT and the D, who I listen to regularly, mm-hmm. Detroit Sports Rag, who was on before mm-hmm. us. I want to give a shout out to them. If you've not had a chance to listen to Detroit Sports Rag, they light up everybody.
They are opinionated.
They light up everybody. Nobody's safe. It
they
is
are
the
very
greatest
opinionated.
Thing. And if you listen to Detroit radio or you read the major papers in the Detroit area, and to those to you, those people are people you relate to because they've been a part of your life. They know all the ins and outs of their lives, and they nobody is safe.
No.
And it's absolutely great. Mm-hmm. So go check out Detroit Sports Rag, our friends who are in the studio before us on podcastdetroit.com. But once again, this show is presented by the Detroit Brawl. Saturday night, February 6th, you get a chance to see a lot of boxers with a lot of good records. Most people are into the record thing. It doesn't necessarily mean they're great fighters if you follow boxing, but these guys are the real deal. I'm talking records of 14-1, 8-0, where Ed Williams is 10-1-1, you know. So it's going to be a good night. It's happening at the Masonic Temple, 500 Temple Street, Detroit, Michigan, 48201. And you can get tickets, actually, through Ticketmaster.com. There's a special VIP ticket for $123. And there is also tickets ranging all the way down to $28. So order your tickets soon. I'm thinking this thing's going to sell out. I normally don't say that.
Oh,
but I'm thinking this thing's
going to sell out. Oh, yeah. I would be shocked if it didn't, actually.
So a great fight card that we'll talk about at the 8 o'clock hour. But we got to move on really quickly. A lot of people follow, I guess, our lives away from the undercard that have been listening to us from day one. And we've been trying to get Jimmy... I don't want to say in a relationship, but just kind of a girl that deserves...
A friendly girlfriend.
Friendly fling? What are we talking about?
Friendly fling.
Friendly fling?
Just a friendly...
Just a friendly?
Friendly friend.
Friendly friend?
Friendly friend.
That's like the soccer
what?
Term, friendly.
Friendly
yeah.
friend.
The match doesn't count, but... It's a friendly.
You need some female companionship.
Okay. Female companionship. Okay.
And you had a horrible experience this weekend.
Yeah.
It's only a horrible experience if you don't learn
exactly.
from it. You have to
right.
learn
yeah,
from
yeah.
it. I think you learned from
oh,
it.
Oh, I yes. definitely learned from it.
Or
yeah.
if you stay down on the mat and don't beat the 10 count and get back up.
Yeah,
and come
you
out gotta
you gotta get back up, get back in that yeah, saddle, yeah. Jimmy. But so
you know
tell
why? Because Mickey loves you.
So tell us what this filthy ditch pig did to you.
All right. So and you guys know, and I mean,
give us the abridged version,
well,
by the way.
For a while there, I was going out on quite a few dates, mm-hmm. online dating, and I gave it up for a while.
Yep.
Because it wasn't working. So I basically got to the point where it was like, look, you either there has to be something. I'm not just going to go out on a date to go out on a date. If I'm going to meet you, and I met you online, there's got to be something else there. So,
like a penis?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched okay, yeah. you no, say use
no, no, no,
you said
there
it.
Has
said
to
it.
Be a connection because for a while there it was kind of like okay if we're conversing I'm gonna give it a shot mm-hmm. and it just wasn't working out so then it became okay there has to be some kind of a connection even for me to even consider you know meeting you in person so and I'm not gonna go into too many specifics so basically I met this lady online. We had been talking.
Don't call her a lady.
I met this person online. Okay, I met this person
online.
Call
her a ditch pig.
No, I met this person online, and we decided that we were going to go out and get some dinner and some drinks. And she told me in advance. Now, normally, and I'm a guy. I grew up. Guy pays for the first date. I totally understand that. But she told me in advance. She said, I plan on drinking, and I am a top-shelf drinker, so I will pay for my own drinks. And I said, okay, that's fine. I got dinner, and I got, you know, appetizers or whatever.
And dessert.
So we went out. We had dinner, and she was ordering quite a few drinks, and it was always top-shelf stuff. So, you know, it was pretty expensive. So then we finished dinner. She had a whole bunch of drinks, and she said, excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. She got up and poof, gone.
Houdini them.
Gone.
She just got up and left.
And I waited there.
What'd you do?
She didn't give you an abracadabra or anything?
She did nothing. Yeah. So for 20 minutes, I'm waiting there, and okay, you know, maybe she's got some bathroom
Everybody
problems.
Poops, dude. Everybody
exactly.
poops.
Exactly. Not even
maybe
thinking about it.
She passed out in there. She
not even thinking about it. No, not even thinking about it. So another 20 minutes goes by, and I'm
Are
like,
we
okay,
at 40 minutes now?
We're at 40 minutes now. And Jesus. Now I'm like, okay, something – maybe – and exactly, maybe something happened to her.
Yeah.
So I asked one of the waitresses. I said, excuse me. I said, could you do me a favor? I said, my date went into the restroom. I think maybe something might be wrong. Can you go in there and check, see if she's okay? She said, okay. She went in the restroom. She came out. She said, there's nobody in there. I said, oh, okay. So I texted her, and I said, hey, just curious, what happened? Didn't hear anything for a while. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So I asked the waiter to bring me the check, and my portion of the check was about $30. Her portion of the check, because of all the drinks that she had, was $120.
Ah!
I was stuck with a $150 bill that I had to pay because she left.
Pig.
I got a text later on that evening, which essentially said, "You're not good looking enough for me. Your pictures look nothing like you," which I call BS because they do. They look exactly like me. And she's like, I'm not, you know, blah, blah, blah. If you were more attractive, maybe this could have worked, but maybe you should play more in your league. And I asked her, I'm like, well, what does that mean? She said, you know, date like ones and twos. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, thank you for stiffing me with a $120 bill, and you can go, you know what, with a you know what. And that was the end of the conversation.
Maybe did she even, like, mention the fact that she had left that large of a bill behind, or
no.
wasn't even a thought in her head? She's just like,
I think
I'm
the human
here.
Calculator, those can't
no, I honestly, yeah. I honestly think, considering what she said afterwards, that she had no intention. Like, she purposely said, I'm going to take this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to take this guy.
Was,
I'm going to order.
Her plan, I'm sure.
Exactly. And I'm going to get drunk off of so many high-end things, and he's going to pay
she
for it.
She probably had a dude
him.
Pick her up in the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That's
and I'm going to guess, I'm gonna guess that
she had an Uber.
She had it
no,
all planned out
no,
before
she
got
didn't,
there.
She didn't get an Uber. Her pimp came and picked her up because she's a filthy whore.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you.
No. Why do I have to be nice to her? Did you hear what she did to Jimmy?
I'm just thinking what he could get 80 bucks on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn.
I'm right. Like,
I feel like he got cheated.
Like, seriously. Like, here's the thing. Like,
then you get all the STDs.
Like, chicks.
Like, all of them.
Chicks who do that, like if they were on the – if I found them on the sidewalk on fire and had to pee incredibly badly, I wouldn't waste my piss on them.
Well, yeah. His feelings – are hurt, and but feelings aside, you don't do that to the associate producer of the undercard.
Well, no, exactly.
We know women boxers.
I want to know their perspective. Like, have you girls ever done this, or you've had it done to you?
Absolutely not.
No,
I would at least go through the date.
And here's the thing:
I don't like to date because of that reason. Because I don't know. I mean, guys treat me nice. I'm not gonna lie, but
well, look at you.
Liz is like,
come on.
Liz is like, I don't have Jimmy's problems, but.
But
I mean, do you have friends?
Never,
have any friends that you know have done something in the realm of this?
No, but I personally would not, like, I don't know anybody my age that would, or people that I know, I wouldn't say my age, but people that I know would just go out on a date and be like, oh, hey, I'm not interested in you, but let me just run the bill up real quick and then go to the bathroom for two hours.
And that's exactly it. I don't care about the fact that she didn't find me attractive and she wanted to leave the date.
But she used you.
But you know, but here's the thing, and that's exactly it. It was... That $120, I mean, and I was telling these guys before, that means I'm eating ramen for the next 2 weeks because of that. That was like grocery money. I mean, seriously. And I will admit, and we talked about it when it was on my blog, I did go out on a date, and because of what she said, that was the put a baby inside me tonight lady. I left. We talked about it on my blog, but I left. But I made sure I paid my portion of the bill before I left. I went up to the waiter. I left her just like that, but I made sure I paid my portion of the bill. Mm-hmm. Because that's what upsets me more than anything else, is the fact that she ran the bill so high and then stiffed me with it. If you didn't want to be with me, you didn't want to stake out the date, that's fine, but pay your portion.
You need to throw her name out there. Well, like, put her on.
No, I'm not.
Well, Jimmy, here's the thing. I am a firm believer in karma.
Yeah.
And so just take heart in knowing that it may not come today, maybe not tomorrow, but at some point in the next couple of years, her vagina is going to fall out. Okay? Yes. And she will have to have transvaginal mesh that will put her blown out, dead. Just, it sounds like a blown speaker. Like,
it'll be better if like, her, you know, bladder drops, and then she, every time she laughs, she pisses herself.
No, that's too good.
No, it's true. I'm sure this happened to you.
No, I want her vagina to fall out. And I want transvaginal mesh to have to put it back in. And then I want her to get the crazy infection or whatever happens to ladies that do
waffle?
That. What, the blue waffle? That's whatever happens to the ladies. There, you see what? The commercials on the. You see the commercials.
The class action lawsuit.
The class action lawsuit for women whose vaginas fall out. I want her to then get whatever is wrong with you when you have to call that lawyer.
Yeah. So did you, a lot did of you wishing. Message her back on the whatever you met her on, like anything?
No, she erased her profile after that.
That is so sketchy.
Yeah.
Now, see, here's what I wanted to do.
That's
is,
what I mean. It was like it was pre-planned before. Well,
that's
like,
exactly.
Let me
you
find
know what?
How many and guys I can find
exactly.
On this
and I guarantee
website,
you.
Yeah.
I guarantee
this up.
You.
I'm drinking free all week.
Exactly. And I guarantee you that's exactly what happened. And you're probably right that some guy picked her up in the parking lot.
They had it all timed.
Well, she had it all timed. That
yeah,
I'm
she
going
probably
to
was like, pick that was probably her next victim.
And that's exactly right. That was probably, they probably went to the bar.
Yep.
You know, and she got drinks, and then she had another guy pick her up so that she could go ahead and last call.
Yeah. Now, see, here's the thing. I really do want to track this chick down.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Because here, well,
I
when
have
I,
no
here's
contact
what,
information.
Here's what I
her.
Want to happen. I want, we're going to put Barnes on this, and I want Barnes to reverse it on her.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I want Barnes to, like, hit her up and be like, hey, let's go out, and then, like, go out, and then, like, just, like, run up a huge, like double it,
someone,
right? Like, you know,
yeah,
like, I want
possible.
Barnes to, like, run up, like, a $200 right. bar tab.
Yeah, yeah.
Top and then, shelf only.
And then
in the corner and be like, we want ours on their tab over there.
Like, whatever. And then, like, I want him to, like, I want him to get done with the steak and, like, push it back and be like, well, I gotta go take a shit. And then, like, get up and go and then done. And that she gets stuck with, like, a $300.
And you know what? If she ever pops up on that site again and I recognize her, absolutely, we're doing that.
Name.
Oh,
was
you know she will.
It doesn't matter if it's a different name. I'll recognize the face.
Was
That's
she
what I'm
a
we
10?
Need to find her.
Was she a 10?
Yeah, what was she?
What was
she? I would say she was like an 8.5.
Would
really?
I have her? Would I have her as a ring girl?
Yes.
Oh my God, that would be the ultimate fucking revenge. Is if just by chance you found her as like brought her as a ring girl, and Jimmy's like, oh hey, remember me?
Yeah. But there has to be a line where it's like you don't do that to the associate producer co-host of the undercard.
Well, no, but actually, if it does happen, we'd have to calm Jimmy down and be like, no, hold on, don't just play it. Just play it calm. And then we will garnish her wages.
Dude, that's...
She's like, I didn't get paid for my room. Like, you got paid back when you took Jimmy out.
Yeah, we won't even have you on the show
that is
shitty, Jimmy. Yeah,
it is shitty.
I mean...
But you have
like the worst luck, and I feel so.
I do. There was somebody else I did meet over this weekend, and that one actually came out.
What's his name?
Nice. Mark.
Oh, Brad's giving him a little hug. That's nice.
So that was the crappy one, but there was another one that it was very nice.
Yeah,
so.
But you just go for like really ruthless girls though. Like that's like the second time it's happened, right?
The real nice one had to be a Coney Island because he's 150 down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
But you got to get the combos, right?
Yeah.
You got to get the combos.
He's like,
Coney's are pushing it.
Would you like to split half a Coney dog?
I think it's very romantic if we split something.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's like, not even a whole one. He's like, no. All the nitrates ain't good for you.
Well, we wish you well with that, thanks, Jimmy, as you move along with that. Yeah. We do have a couple ring girls in here. You guys can be rotten sometimes, women. Look at that. I mean,
oh, it's terrible.
What is your defense to that?
Nothing I said was rotten.
No. He's saying women.
Women can be pretty rotten.
Yeah.
No, we definitely can.
You guys really do hold all the power.
Bullshit.
No, you really do.
I agree. That's
the totally how do you not hold the power?
That's totally true.
How do you not?
I date him.
Here's the thing. You
made a poor choice.
Yeah, just like you let that happen.
He sounds like a creep.
No. You let that happen. All right.
Sounds like an a-hole.
All you got to do is shut down the amusement park for like a week. Like, and I'm talking like shut it down. Not just that, like the roller coaster's offline. Like shut it down. And then after
you're
we
talking just, like Wally World.
I'm talking like the moose in the front, yeah, like with the dented nose. Yeah.
Me and my girls here, we're wholesome.
Then all you got to do is a week later be like, I wish I had diamonds, and he'd be like, what carrot? What clarity? And then you would
have
it.
That's one, bitch.
I'm just saying, like, just shut it down.
Anyway.
You have to be disciplined, though. Like,
you know what?
You can't even let him ride the Tilt-A-Whirl. Like, it has to be done and done.
What was the name, and you might not know this, what was the name of that Greek play where that's exactly what happened? The women shut it down to get the war to stop. And what happened? The war stopped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Jeez.
I can't. You're not Trojan women.
No.
I'll find it.
Look it up. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's true, though. That is how it works.
So if you wagered we'd be talking theater tonight on the Undercard episode 174, you just won. Cash in that bet.
No, see, what I'm saying is, like, I did the online dating thing. I did it for, like, 6 months, you know, a couple years ago. And
you've been with him for 5.
No. It seems like it, doesn't it? But there were, I mean, every guy on there was just a douche.
Was it a free site?
Yeah.
The second one wasn't. I would never do online dating for the fact of like catfish. Like, you don't know who's behind the screen.
Well, and that's
you don't know the real personality.
Some of the things when that show up in my blog when I was doing it, but that happened quite a few times.
Sometimes you find
too.
A gem.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd rather find
I'm so wholesome.
Like,
Once again, explain what you find a gem.
Is he sitting behind Brad?
Wait, no, I'm so wholesome. What's catfishing?
It's like somebody that, okay, so I could have a profile, but everything about me is a lie. It's a different picture. I could be using your picture.
Right.
And saying
a lot of
and
times
they're really, really elaborate.
Yeah.
And then like, hey, let's meet up in person. And then it's like, not you. It could be like.
Yeah, that happened to me a couple times too. But
if you go on my J-Date profile, I have a picture of Anthony Barnes as my profile picture. I say that I'm a lawyer and a doctor.
Yeah. See, that's all you need to do to her is just.
Yeah. Oh, that would work too.
The play is called Lysistrata.
Put Barnes on the block.
Nah. Try to meet someone through like friends.
Yeah,
I've tried.
All of Jimmy's friends are assholes.
Honestly, and that's something I was thinking about the other day. I'm like, you know what? Romantic comedies have been a lie, and not because of like the whole meet cute.
There you go.
You know, romance stuff like that, but because in every romantic comedy, when somebody is single, all of their friends want to try to set them up. Not one of my friends has tried to set me up.
I told these two in the car on the way here, we need to put you on The Bachelor. Get you your own Bachelor
but
show.
You can't, because I'm not rich.
Yeah, he does.
You have to be rich
to
be a Bachelor.
He has to have them dollar bills.
Well, what was the show where they tricked the girls into thinking he was a millionaire?
Joe Millionaire.
But you know, because that's misrepresenting, and I don't do that.
Right.
You don't have to. We'll do it for you.
I think Marv had the great idea. I think this was a few episodes back as we moved the subject on after this, though, in that you get a picture of you and Barnes together so yeah. that they're at least in – they're like, well, which one is he? Right. And then you can go from there. And then you could respond back to him when they go, well, which one are you in the picture? And they're being all cute. You'd be like, I'll tell you, one of them's very clever. He does theater and everything. The other one's just good looking. Which one do you go for? And then you can weed them out right there.
Yeah.
If they want the looks, go, okay, well, that's not going to work. But true. If they're like, I want the theater guy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think – I don't know if it's – if you guys think it's true because you guys are around all my age except these two. But –
I am nowhere near any of your guys' age.
Shut up.
Dude, shut up. I'm the oldest dude in this room,
these two are in their early 20s. They probably have tons and tons of –
I'm closer to them than you guys. You're only like
about a month, aren't
you? Yeah. Anyway, they probably have tons of friends. As you get older, your friends dwindle.
They die because you get old.
Just saying. Like,
they start dying off.
Everyone becomes busy with their own lives, so you have less and less friends.
So
it is difficult. Shut your mouth.
Not true, Michelle.
Here's what I would say. I would say when you're in –
just because you're like, I know someone who knows them.
No, listen. When we're at our age, in our age bracket – you probably don't hang out with as many friends, but we also – like all of our friends are – Jimmy's like my only single friend.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's like we're all – we've all like got – we've all got – we've all got lives that mean something and
wow. Thanks, Marv.
You know, we look forward to getting up in the morning and starting the day.
Even while I go slip my wrist in the green room.
To argue against her point though, in 1995 I maybe had 25 friends, but now I have 5,000. I'd even have more if Facebook would allow that 5,001. But I have 5,000.
Just because
friends.
You click accept at every time.
I'm like, don't.
He's like, no, this looks
He's
legit.
Like, oh, she's got a cool name. Accept.
I do not do that.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I did. Okay, hold on. yes, this did.
And you know what?
Jamie Palomino. Okay. Oh, have you ever seen Best Friends?
Yes.
I got a friend request from a girl.
Jamie Palomino.
No mutual friend. Oh, looked my like God. A real thing.
I got the same request and I denied
no.
it.
Wait,
Jamie Palomino, how do you deny that? Because we had no mutual friends, and I was fairly certain she was going to have a friend in Nigeria who had money for
Palomino. Chris Brander.
Right?
No, I accept her. She's in.
He did. He was like, Jamie Palomino, yeah!
I had to delete someone, but I got her in.
Have you talked to her?
No.
Is that why none of my messages get to you now? You deleted me in favor for Jamie Palomino? Awesome.
Marv doesn't even respond, you know? I'll post 20 things on the undercard. He don't even like them. He's like, whatever. You don't know.
we have a Facebook page?
We do have a Facework. Facebook.com /radio undercard. Yeah. We actually have pictures of our ring girls tonight that are up there. We're going to go to our first commercial break. Then we're going to try to solve the Flint water problem.
Then at 8 o'clock...
We got boxing all night.
I have a theory on Flint water, too.
I do, too.
Is it good? Is it going to get us sued?
It's big water.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard. It's officially episode 174. We are rocking and rolling through the episode. James Ballard's coming up at about the 8 o'clock hour. We also have Leandre Blue-White going to be in studio. We're going to let him and Boozer go at it over the phone lines. It'll be fun. We were talking the birthday of Michigan, and it would be not smart of us not to address this because over the 3 years, if you've listened to us, we always, if something kind of bothers us, we're going to talk about it. And so anyways – I look at the Detroit versus everybody shirts, and I kind of remember the day when the automotive company had to go and ask for money from Congress, and they were basically humiliated by the Congress, the people you elected. And I want to keep politics out of what we talk about today because you could put politically blame both sides probably. But I kind of like when I see the Detroit versus everybody shirts. Everybody has their own meaning to it, but mine was kind of like, well. People were kind of turning their backs on us when we needed them most for the automotive industry. And it was, so I see the Detroit versus everybody. I'm like, oh, great. Well, now we have a new problem in Flint. And now celebrities all over the world are supplying water to Flint because their water is obviously contaminated. I mean, we're going to go through a timeline here really quick.
It was the automotive companies that polluted that river, though.
Well,
it was GM that did that.
Allegedly.
There's no allegedly,
Don't
dude.
Say allegedly, so it gets us out.
All right.
Whatever.
But I just wanted, like, for people that are not grasping the concept of this, celebrities giving water to Flint That's something that you do to a third world country.
We are a third world country.
I'm saying celebrities don't do this kind of thing unless they're donating to a third world country. Flint has been reduced to a third world country.
No, they're worse than that, and we'll get into the reasons why. So April 25th, 2014, if you're not familiar, to save money, Flint changes its water source to the Flint River rather than the Detroit water system. This was done by an emergency manager that was appointed by the governor. Once again, I want to keep politics out of it.
Who is now overseeing the Detroit public schools?
Yes.
For 7 years he's been doing it.
I'm just saying. Horrible. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not the same emergency manager, but Detroit Public Schools, I think, are worse off with the emergency managers over the last 7 years.
Well, but I'm saying this guy is now – this same guy is now over Detroit Public Schools.
That summer in 2014, residents began complaining to local leaders about foul-smelling tap water, health symptoms such as rashes and hair losses from drinking and bathing in it. August and September, E. coli bacteria is found in the Flint water supply.
You missed something.
Well, I didn't. It's actually motherjones.com.
Okay. But the – and I don't know the exact date, but they voted to there is a chemical that is put into the water that protects the lead pipes so that the lead from the lead pipes don't go into the water. It is $100 a day additive. Flint Council voted to not use that.
Okay.
That is what caused the lead pipes to start leaking the lead into the water.
Okay. Well, it might come up on the timelines.
Okay.
Maybe we didn't hit it yet. October 1st of 2014, General Motors says it will stop using the Flint River water because its plants after workers notice that the water corrodes the engine parts.
Huh.
In 2015, January 2nd, Flint issues an advisory warning that says its water contains high levels of lot of byproducts of water disinfectant chemicals. Over time, these byproducts can cause kidney, liver, nervous system damage. Sick and elderly people may be at risk, the advisory notes, but the water is otherwise safe to consume. January 12th, Detroit offers to reconnect Flint to its water system at no cost. Emergency manager Early rejects the offer. January 13th, Governor Rick Snyder names Jerry Ambrose as Flint's new emergency manager. Early is reassigned to the emergency manager for Detroit Public Schools. So we're in 2015 of January 13th. January 21st, residents show up to a town hall meeting in droves complaining that the water is causing a lot of symptoms from rashes to hair loss to vision and memory problems. February 3rd, Governor Snyder awards Flint $2 million to improve its water system. In a memo to Snyder, state officials write, "It's clear the nature of the threat was communicated poorly. It's also clear that folks in Flint are concerned about the aspects of the water, taste, smell, and color being among the top complaints." Now, I don't want politics to get into it, but we do know that as of right now, proof that he knew about it in October, Governor Snyder, October of 2015. Right here we have in February 3rd, 2015, the first complaint that Governor Snyder has heard about the water. February 18th of last year, lead levels of 104 parts per billion are found in tap water of Leanne Walters, a Flint mother of four who demands the city test her waters after kids showed troubling symptoms. There is no safe level of lead, but the threshold for the EPA to initiate an enforcement action is 15 ppb. So way over it.
Like 10, like to a magnitude of 10.
The city offered to connect the Walters to a neighbor home as a short-term plan, which the water's all coming from the same place, so yeah. Whatever. February 25th, Walters contacts Miguel Del Torre, a manager at the EPA's Midwest Water Division. She informs him that Flint isn't treating its water with standard corrosion controls, critical in the aging city like Flint that prevents old pipes from leaking lead. Then we go to March 3rd, follow-up city test. March 24th, Ambrose, the new emergency manager, nixes a city council vote to do all things necessary to switch back to the Detroit water system, calling the vote incomprehensible. We now know that the damage was probably already done, but here you have them still as a cost-affecting measure, not allowing Flint to reconnect to Detroit's water. March 27th, blood tests reveal that all Walter's four children were exposed to lead and that Gavin, four-year-old, has lead poisoning. April 6th, in a Facebook post, City Council Vice President Davis accuses Governor Snyder and the emergency manager Ambrose of trying to commit genocide in Flint. Explaining herself to the Flint Journal, Davis says, "I feel the emergency manager and governor should be held more accountable. I do believe maybe 5, maybe 10 years from now, some people are going to contract a disease they can't even get rid of." January 24th, Del Torre writes a memo later leaked to the head of the EPA Division Water, citing Flint's lack of corrosion controls as a major concern, what Jimmy was talking about earlier. We're going to skip down a little bit. April 29th, the state lifts Flint's financial emergency designation and Ambrose leaves the emergency manager position. So we're going to skip down because there's a ton of stuff. But July 22nd of last year, Snyder's chief of staff emails officials at MHHS. I'm frustrated by the water issue in Flint. These folks are scared and worried about the health impacts, and they basically are getting blown off by us. So that's July 22nd of last year. September 15th of last year, Edwards determines the Flint River water is 19 times as corrosive as Detroit tap water and estimates that 1 in 6 Flint homes have elevated lead levels. September 24th, pediatrician researcher Mona Hanna-Astia goes public with a research showing that the percentage of Flint children under the 5 with elevated blood levels, lead levels, have doubled and in some cases tripled since the change in the water supply. September 25th of last year, Flint issues a lead warning, advising residents to drink and cook only cold tap water, but still maintains the water complies with federal standards. The governor's chief of staff emails his boss, saying that the MDEQ feel that some in Flint are taking this very sensitive issue of child's exposure to lead and trying to turn it into political football. That's September 25th of last year. October 2nd, press release from Governor Snyder's office. The water leaving Flint's drinking water system is safe to drink, but some families with lead plumbing in their homes or service connections could experience high levels of lead in the water that comes out of their faucets. That was from the governor's office. October 8th, lead is found at high levels in drinking fountains at 3 Flint schools. Governor Snyder announces that Flint will go back to buying water from Detroit, obviously clearly not knowing what the problem is still at that time. October 19th, it recently has become clear that our drinking water program staff made a mistake while working with the city of Flint. That's what MDEQ Director Dan Wyant admits. Simply stated, staff employed a federal protocol that believed was appropriate and it was not. November 16th, lawyers announced a class action lawsuit against the city and state officials, including Snyder and Wyant, on behalf of the Flint residents. December 29th, an independent task force created by Governor Snyder to look into the crisis points fingers at the MDEQ, calling its regulatory approach minimalist and unacceptable when residents and scientists raise concerns. And that brings us to this year, 2016, January 5th, Governor Snyder declares a state of emergency for Genesee County, home to Flint. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Michigan launches an investigation into officials handling the crisis. January 7th, the state's chief medical executive advises Flint residents to use only bottled or filtered water. January 12th, Snyder deploys National Guard troops to help distribute the bottled water. January 16th, President Obama declares a state of emergency in Flint, freeing up $5 million in federal relief. January 7th, Hillary Clinton brings up Flint at the Democratic debate. I'll tell you what, if the kids in a rich suburb of Detroit had been drinking contaminated water and being bathed in it, there would have been an action. January 19th, in a State of the State address, Governor Snyder apologizes. No citizen of this great state should endure the great catastrophe that Flint has. He pledges to release his office's emails about the Flint situation and does so the following day. So that's the timeline for the people that are unaware of what the timeline is. And I'm just going to go on a little bit of a rant here really quick. But I do got to pass a number that our producer has to.
I already have it.
313-28?
No, you wanted me to call a different number.
No, really quick. Hold on, pass that over to her really quick. I do want to say this really quick. I do give Governor Snyder props for admitting that the buck stops here and all that good stuff.
I give him zero props for anything.
Okay, but after that, that's. And I no politics. We're just, you know, right. That being aside, he should resign immediately, and he should resign before criminal charges are being brought up.
He should resign, and criminal charges should be brought against him.
In a perfect world, maybe. But I'm just saying that he should resign. This is Chernobyl. Do you realize that Flint is going to be a ghost town? You can't. Yeah. This is going to take 20 years to fix, and maybe they won't fix it. First off, would you eat at a business? Now in Flint.
I won't even go to Flint.
Knowing that you'd have to drink the water.
There's no way. Like, and how are you ever going to – like, what are people supposed to do? How are you ever going to sell your house in Flint?
Correct.
Right? Like, so the government approved like $80 million – like, the federal government approved $80 million, I think, right, in like FEMA money or something, like disaster, right? That $80 million, they need to just divide that up among the people of Flint and give them however, whatever it works out to be. Give them 20 grand a piece or however it works out and say, get a new home, because you're not going to be able to sell your house. You can't continue to live there.
No, absolutely not.
Like,
and it goes way beyond that. But okay, so you're talking, you know, the houses and stuff like that. You can't have hospitals in Flint anymore.
Right.
You can't do anything. You can't go to restaurants. You can't shower. You can't bathe. You can't go to a hospital because you will be getting treated by water that has lead corrosion in it. The police can't function. The fire department can't really function. I mean,
yeah, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
No, I mean, seriously, and again, this has been reduced to a third world country, but I have to say this. Governor Snyder is not the only one that should be brought up.
No, absolutely not. No
criminal charges.
No.
The mayor, the city council, the emergency manager, every single person who made the decision to do this and disregarded it when it became known, the people at the EPA that did the testing and then never distributed the information.
Yep.
Every single person involved should face criminal charges.
They should.
Every single one of them. And you have poisoned a generation of Americans, of humans, not even American citizens, of humans. You have poisoned them to the point where you will have mental and physical defects. You have probably I'm saying you don't even know what's going to happen with the pregnant women that are now having children, what those deficits are going to be in the future. I mean, it is just amazing that something like this not only could happen in the world, but happen
here
in America.
It's not
in Michigan.
Honestly, though, but maybe I get too pessimistic. It's not amazing that it could happen anywhere in the world. It happens all over the place. It's terrible. It's happening here. I mean, it's come home. The thing that the people of Flint are guilty of is not being from a white suburb.
Yes, agree. No, any rich suburb. Oh. Doesn't this have to be white?
It helped.
No, it didn't, because there are just as many on both sides. It's a poverty thing.
Sure, I don't deny that at all. It's a
100% poverty thing.
Absolutely.
So we could talk about it probably over the next 3 weeks, and we'll continue talking about it, because here's the thing. There is no short-term solution, so maybe as long as we're a show – into episode 500, we're going to be talking about it. These bottled waters that everyone's given, this is great because they need it, right? But once again, it's private individuals helping out people. It's never the government getting it right. And I'm not – once again, not politics. Government just never gets it right, period. And here's the thing. It's a short-term solution.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's not really a Band-Aid.
It's what we do. We treat symptoms. We don't treat causes.
Because me and you just said – even if they swear they're cooking in bottled water and stuff, we won't eat there, right?
Not a chance.
Then Governor Snyder says that he'd let his grandkids bathe in it. A liar, first off.
Oh,
I would not let my son
If he let his grandchildren bathe in that, then
somebody should take bath water up there and then like literally leave it outside the Capitol and go, okay, well,
that's what I would take. I want to take a gallon of water to his office from Flint and be like, drink away.
There's no way. I would not let my son near that water. Okay.
No.
So every restaurant's going to go out of business.
That's exactly. I don't know. I just saw this story back in Germany. And I'm sorry, I forget the dude's name, but the guy that basically like was responsible for cleaning up the sausage factories in Germany, right? Like there was the outbreak of trichinosis, right? So he came out and said, like, these guys are letting this happen. They know that it's killing people. And this was back in the day, right? So a guy challenged him to a duel, because that's what you did back then, right? Okay. Challenged him to a duel. And because he was the challenged one, he got to pick the weapons. All right, so they showed up for the duel, and when they opened the case, the weapons were sausages from one of the factories. And he was like, eat up. and the dude was like, all right, never mind, you win. So I want Governor Snyder to take the Pepsi challenge.
Yeah.
No,
with Flint water.
No, not drink it, bathe in it. Because he's saying it's safe to bathe in. He's not saying it's safe to drink. He's saying it's safe to bathe in.
If it's not safe to drink, it's not safe to bathe in.
Exactly. But that, I want him to put his money where his mouth is. I want him to bathe in.
You just
want to
see Governor Snyder's naked, wrinkly ass bathing in a...
No. He can do it
in the Flint River.
Well,
no, I want his ass in the cold ass Flint River.
Right, and 10 years ago, although my memory's not as good as it was when my beautiful son was young, how could you prevent a
like
kid?
Your son is old now?
He's 10 years old, but
he's
I'm
like,
just saying
when my son was young.
How can you prevent an infant from how can you prevent an infant when you're bathing them?
You can't
from getting the water.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
the
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Whoa!
What's up?
What up?
But really quickly, solutions, because they're talking anywhere from $2 billion to $20 billion to fix this.
Oh, I mean.
Make it Chernobyl, shut down. It is a modern-day ghost town, and give everybody property and move them out of the city. Because let's get it done quick.
To?
I don't know. But it's better than making them wait for 20 years until
think,
you pull every freaking pipe.
Well, I think what they should do is Flint has the exact same problem that Detroit has, which is sprawl. They need to condense Flint down to just smaller areas and concentrate on fixing those areas, get the residents in those areas so that those areas are fixed and clean and done first and then spread out.
So are you advocating camps in which there are concentrations of people?
No. Shut up. No, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying condense it down, you know.
Concentrate them.
No, what I'm
in
saying
camps.
Is – not camps.
Take them there
in
on
buildings.
Drinks.
No.
Right, Marv.
Wow.
Marv, all right,
really,
so,
Marv? Really?
That's what I heard you say.
No, that is not what I said. Not at all what I said. And I'm actually kind of pissed that you went there.
If you were going to – I want you to be pissed about something. I figured I would just – I would spoon feed it to you.
That is not what I was talking about. And you know it.
What were you saying, Brad?
I was just summing up my ideas in that not wait 20 years or 10 years to do it. Move the people out. Find a place for them. I think it's the government's responsibility after failing them.
But where are you going to put them, though?
Jimmy
has a very good point. Where are you going to put them?
But they don't know how to pull up every pipe to start over.
And
that would take longer than finding them places to live
I'm
and
not
providing
saying,
for them.
I'm not saying leave them there. I want to know where you're going to put them.
Right. Jimmy's breaking down the areas into intricate parts and trying to work on each area at a certain time to get them Flint viable again. My ghost town option. What is yours, Marv? What is your
I guess I agree with you. They need to get the hell out of there. I just don't know where you're going to put them.
I don't know. Find them places.
I mean,
build them houses.
Flint is closed for business.
Will be cheaper than $20
billion. I mean, well, I think I said earlier, like, you know, whatever, however much it is, what you figure out how much it's going to – what's the population of Flint? Anybody know?
I don't know. He'll look it up.
Find the population of Flint and then find out, like, what's it going to cost for people to buy a house and you give them money and you say, go find a house because you're never going to sell –
Think about that. That's billions and billions of dollars. Think about people who
really?
Have to commute.
Oh, so we can spend trillions of dollars
fixing it.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, like, the government sort of, like, put a blanket over it, and it's become – it's an abscess.
All to save $2 million.
What's the population of Flint?
So in 2013, which was the last census that they have on here, it was
99,763.
Yeah.
All right, times, let's say, we're not going to give them a lavish home. We'll say, what, 90 grand for a house?
Sure.
They're owed more, but yes.
You're 90 grand for a house.
We'll say 90 grand for
a
house.
You can get a semi-decent house for 90 grand.
And, okay, and so that is eight, you're talking about, probably about $80 billion.
Yeah.
No, wait, hold on. What was the population?
99,763. Which actually is probably less now, but...
Yeah, 99,763.
I mean, this isn't even talking about their doctor bills or what these people
are. Oh, no. God, no.
They could bankrupt the state of Michigan.
Oh,
really could.
Easily.
They might with this class action lawsuit.
Absolutely.
Tip Michigan over.
It's like $8 billion.
Yeah.
I still think that's better than spending $2 to $20 billion to fix it.
Well,
what are they doing in the meantime?
Getting worse.
Well, yeah. I mean,
the people are just getting sicker.
I mean, not to like, I get, you know, well, what they would do is like, so if you take the money, then you would give up the right to sue.
There'll be some crazy that'll stay there.
Oh, yeah.
Like the guy on the volcano that blew in Mount St. Helen. He'll be like, I've lived here my whole life. No one's going to kick me out of Flint.
I'm sure there are those people.
Well, look at, I mean, there's all the people, I mean, not to, but, I mean, there was all the people that stayed during Katrina. They were like, yeah, we've been through this before.
Yeah.
You know, now, I mean, Flint hasn't been through this before, but yeah, like, they've lived there their whole lives. Like,
so we each have a little bit of a solution. It'll be interesting to see what the government will do. I really think they don't have a clue. And at a federal level or a state level. And we'll continue to talk about this. And I don't want to get it into the right, the left. I just want to know what's right for these people. And here's my fear of it. And Jimmy, I know, will agree with me. And I think you will, Marv, is that we get motivated by stuff and we get angered by stuff. But that as time goes by, we forget about stuff.
Sure.
I hope we don't forget about Flint because their problems are there forever.
Well, hopefully we don't, but there's a very good chance we will because we have a presidential election coming up.
They're on the cover of Time magazine.
Sure.
A boy with rashes that had drank the water. I believe it's an infant. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to pick it up. I've been reading national papers. We were talking about New York Times, Wall Street Journal, also USA Today. It's in there, but the outrage should even be more outrage. And I hate that it always has to be private individuals donating stuff. You know, why – it's great that they are helping. But why are we not doing more still yet? I don't understand where you could relocate everybody. And I don't know where the money would come. But we clearly owe this people. And, you know, we'll look back on this not as, A, one of the biggest problems ever – but we'll look back at on it that they tried to save $2 million and it cost anywhere from $8 to $80 billion. Absolutely crazy.
But as of right now, it's cost the federal government $80 million.
Think about that.
I know.
For $2 million.
But what I'm saying is the two – basically I'm playing devil's advocate here or like – the city of Flint and all, like they still save the $200 million. What I'm saying is like the city council still save that $200 million because the cleanup is not going to be done by the federal government.
Oh, we're paying for it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like
they're paying
like,
for it. Like you're paying like, for it. I'm paying for it.
What I'm saying, like from their point of view, from the shitty city council point of view, is like the federal government's going to take care of it now.
It's horrible.
It's not our problem.
Absolutely horrible.
Check it under. Not my problem.
We're going to go to a break, and then we have Leandre Blue-White coming up here. We also have James Ballard. And we have What's on Tap when we come back.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard. It is officially episode 174. We have a full studio now. I'm looking at a lot of cool faces right now, and we're going
faces
to
we haven't seen in forever.
I know, dude.
Like that one was like a bean the last time.
I know. Yeah. All right, so it's that time of the show again. We're going to do What's on Tap.
What is on tap, Jimmy?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Marv.
Well, thanks, Jimmy.
So this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company, where we talk about upcoming boxing and MMA. Events all over the world. January 29th at Bellator 148, we have Paul Daly versus Andy Urich and Paul Bradley versus Chris Honeycutt. On UFC on Fox 18 on January 30th, we have Ryan Bader versus Anthony Johnson. We have Jake Ellenberger versus Tariq Seffendine and Josh Barnett versus Ben Rothwell. Now moving on to boxing, January 27th at New York, we have Luis Rosa Jr. versus Germán Meraz for 8 rounds for junior featherweight. January 29th at Los Angeles on Estrella TV, we have Julian Ramirez versus Chris Martin for 10 rounds for the featherweights. At Elk Grove Village, Illinois, we have Willie Monroe versus... to be announced, 8 rounds, middleweights.
Oh, to be announced, he is like my favorite.
I know. At Toowoomba, not Tumbawamba.
Oh,
Toowoomba, Australia. We have Paul Galen versus Herman Ini Purcell. It's a rematch, 5 rounds for the heavyweights. Now moving on to January 30th at Montreal on HBO. We have Sergey Kovalev versus Jean Pascal. It's a rematch, 12 rounds for Kovalev's IBF, WBO, WBA. For the light heavyweight titles, at Rosario, Mexico, We have Yasmin Rivaz versus Catherine Fiery, 10 rounds for the female bantamweights. Burbank, California, Unimas. We have Jose Felix versus Ricky Sismundo, 10 rounds for the junior welterweights.
This is untight.
I know. At London, we have George Groves versus Andrea DeLucia, 12 rounds, super middleweights. And in Shanghai, China, we have Zhao Shiming versus Nathan Coutinho, 10 rounds for the flyweights. And on January 30th, in Imoloki, Florida, on Bounce TV, we have Erickson Lubian versus Jose Jesus Machias, 10 rounds for the junior middleweights. And, of course, February 6th at the Masonic Temple, we have Detroit Brawl, which we will talk about more on the next show.
All right, then.
And that is What's on Tap.
Fans.
Sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company.
Whom we love.
Who we absolutely love. Brad drinks every time we're here. Is it still Ninja Chicken?
Yeah.
It's still Ninja
Brad
Chicken.
Brad doesn't know.
Like. He does. He's just like, it's beer.
But here's the funny thing. So way back, episode
way,
three.
Way back.
Episode three was the unnecessary science.
Oh, yeah,
project.
Yeah.
Where like
every
Brad,
night is
where, well, like Brad was like, oh, we're gonna drink and see, like, but Brad has never stopped testing. This has just been an ongoing.
When we got here, it was sponsored.
Yeah.
Science experiments. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, Brad. Actually, we were gonna move to a different network, but Dave was like, we're gonna have a keg,
and Brad's like,
and
we're
Brad
there.
Was like, oh, we'll do the show for free. It's not a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The arc of my career is pretty funny because we went from journalists. To entertainer, to a guy that drinks beer and talks boxing. I mean, that's just the arc. You know? And so, whatever. We'll rock and roll. So, we have James Ballard here. We're going to be talking to him in a couple seconds and his team. But we also have Leandre Blue-White join us in studio.
Day one of
he was
the
here from
radio show.
Day one.
He was our very, very first guest.
Yes, that's he true. Was.
Do you, I mean, that should be on the top of your resume.
Right?
Golden Gloves winner. Yeah,
it's, it goes first guest on undercard, Golden Gloves champ.
So really quickly, for people that didn't follow, you got into it with a local fighter over online. And so I offered the show up right away. I was like, hey, you know what? You guys, because it's confusing to read Facebook. You'd say something, he'd say something, then you guys would open a new thread. And I was like, oh, man. So I thought, hey, I'm going to allow you and Patrick Boozer to get on here and settle your differences. But really quickly before we get Patrick on the phone, how'd this come about, Blue, that you guys are kind of in a little spat? And now Patrick told me that this fight's probably not going to happen. But tell me how this came about and where we're at with this little dispute.
I have different views on it. But the first thing and foremost, he always came at me throwing shots. On every pitch, every so often, he throw a shot at me. And why, I don't know. He was always throwing shots. 2016, I'm not for no shots, not for no games. If Patrick won it, Patrick can get it. I was always the fighter that said, I don't want to fight no Detroit fighters. I don't want to knock nobody off at all from Detroit. I want to come up with everybody. But to me, he's already been knocked off. He got four losses. He's been knocked off already. Me give him his fifth loss, but not knock him, not make him or break him. So he come on a picture speaking like while you're boxing the beginner, but I make his pro debut. He's aspiring. But he said, well, he's not ready. That's up to him. But when he turned pro, when Pat turned pro, nobody says you wasn't ready. True be told, he was not ready either. You're never ready. Nobody's ready to. No one knows when they're ready to turn pro. Turning pro is a big step. And he turned pro and he got four losses. So, and then he told that we never shared the ring before. Me and Petty have sparred before a few times. We fought twice in amateurs. He don't mention the fact that he got stopped the first fight. I stopped Patrick Boozer. The second fight, like a sparring match. I didn't even pick it up. I just won the fight easy. We sparred a few times. It's probably a tip of tat. Some days he get down, some days I get down. But sparring was always a good sparring master. I don't discredit Patrick Boozer. He is a heck of a fighter. He got a lot of heart, tremendous heart. He always come to fight, but to me, he lacks skill. He got a tremendous heart. He gonna come to fight. When we fight, it will be a good fight. Patrick will come and bring the heat. I don't doubt that for him. The difference is I have the skill, and the skill is going to beat him all day long.
Marv, you're going to call up Patrick Boozer. We're going to get his side of the story and stuff like that. And, okay. And as you said, Leandre, it's not typical of people that have seen each other in the gyms to actually fight. It normally isn't. So you when you started your career, you didn't want to fight anyone from Detroit.
I didn't. No, nobody. No, nobody. Detroit, Ohio, we all came together. I'm in the pro. I'm going to take on the world. Now, to me, Detroit, by the way, is a local thing. I'm bigger than a local thing. I'm a national, world-known fighter, you know? So, fan guy from Detroit, stopping people was never my thing at all.
All right, we're going to call Patrick Boozer up here.
Hopefully.
Hello?
Hey, Patrick, you're live on the undercard. How are you today?
Well, I'm good.
All right, we are joined by Patrick Boozer, and we have Leandre White in studios here, and we got his side of the story about how you guys have come about having a disagreement. I invited you guys on my show because it was heated. Everybody in the Detroit area was given an opinion. But really quickly, Patrick, if you can say how this came about, where you and Leandre had a little bit of a disagreement, and will this fight even happen?
I'm willing for the fight to happen, you know. I agree to all his terms. You know, he want to do 54 for the title. I'm with all that. He can rehydrate to wherever he want to after the weigh-ins. I'm with all that. But for him to start this now and want to fight 8 months from now, it don't make no sense to me. So I told him I agree to all his terms and we do it. April, May, no later than mid-June. He said he wasn't going to do it. So if he don't do it during that time, then it's not going to happen. I agreed to everything he wanted. The only thing that I didn't agree to was the date. How all of it happened, to me, and a lot of people I know, Blue lives in the past. Blue was an awesome amateur. Not going to lie. I fought him the first time. The first time I fought him, I had about 5 fights. He had about 40 fights. I was fresh to the game and everything. He did stop me. And the reason that I was told he stopped me was because he was throwing punches. Even though he wasn't hitting me, he was throwing punches and I wasn't throwing nothing back. So the ref didn't know if I was okay or not. So Ansel stopped the fight. Second fight was rigged as hell. We fought 2 minute rounds. No open class fighters fight 2 minute rounds. How did that happen? I have no idea. They moved my bout up. I mean, you know, Blue was known in the game, so, you know, it was a lot of stipulations on what he was doing. So they moved our fight up. We was like 3 fights down. He moved us up to the next fight. 2 minute rounds. It was a bunch of, just a bunch of stuff in the second fight. As far as sparring, like you said, we both mixed in and sparring. You know what I'm saying? We both had our days. I had my days. He had his days. I agree with that. He's nationally known as an amateur. Yes, as a pro. I mean, like Blue, like what, 6-7-0 or something like that. But his resume lacks everything. He had a hard time with a bunch of bums. He fought a whole bunch of bums. Yeah, I took losses. My losses was not devastating losses. I lost in decision in hometowns, in backyards. And, I mean, we all know how the game goes. You know, they moving their prospects the right way. And after every loss I took ranked the guys higher than what they was way. I mean, like we went, they went up like 20, 30 points. That means something. You know what I mean? Like, Blue, first of all, this fight, I want this fight because I know I can beat Blue. He's not, as a pro, I don't feel like he's a good pro at all. As far as the statement he made when no one knows when they're ready to go pro, nobody knows when they're ready to go pro. You know, I know I'm a fighter. I know that if you get in the ring with me, it's not going to be easy. I'm definitely going to draw blood, period. And the comment I made on the post with a guy, I'm like, dude, he was went there with a novice. Blue took it to heart because he's sensitive. We went back and forth about it. Then I got a text from Will Hill, and Will Hill said that the video was, oh, he way better than that. I'm like, okay, now that makes sense. That makes a lot more sense because for you to tell me that this guy going pro and I'm looking at him right now, it wasn't happening. Unless y'all don't have his best interest, it wasn't happening. About 2 years ago, we got into it. Blue was playing matchmaker, promoter, whatever he wanted to be, putting up pictures of me and people like 3 weight classes above me. Like, that fight's never going to happen. Nobody ever said they wanted to see the fights he was putting up, but he talking, this is what the world wanted to see, this is the Battle of the Southpaw. So I'm like, Blue, you around my, you closer to weight than me? You know, we can be that weight, we can fight. No, you got to get past him, first. Like, who are you to tell me who I need to get past? You making posts and everything about other fighters, like, enter yourself. I'm not the caliber of fighter he is. My rank is higher than his. I beat way more prospects and contenders and undefeated fighters and all. I'm trying to figure out. And he said I lack skill. Like, I'm southpaw against southpaw. Me and you in the gym, no skill was lacked. Me and you sparring, no skill was lacked.
Well, Blue, what do you have to say then?
Truth be told, the guy, going back years ago, the guy asked me to make the post. The guy won the fight pack. The guy said, Blue, made the post about me and Pat. So I made the post. You know what I'm saying? It was nothing against me. I ain't care. But the post was asked to be made by the guy. So I made the post for that and passed the ticket to shots at me. And I don't want to fight you, bro. I got nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? The guy wants you. I don't want you. You know, and I said that then. You know what I'm saying? So it's never been nothing personal. I guess I was just bump heads. And I don't know, I was just bump heads at the wrong time or the wrong thing, take things the wrong way. But I said he's always throwing shots at me. That's how I took it.
Okay, so for a fight to happen, a promoter has to contact you. I mean, Pat or
My people ready.
Okay, but by people who are you talking about?
KP Box. Okay, my people text me and said, "We gonna do this or we not?"
All right,
I said, this is all up to that man.
KP Boxing.
So his people are ready, Blue.
And Leandra, you fought for KP Boxing, so the only thing's the date, and Blue wins the soonest you can
fight. My people are ready as well, because I've been off for about a year now, and everybody know I've been boxing for over a decade. I never took a break. Body was tired. Stephanie's my injury. Back in the gym as of right now, going pretty hard. I got about 2-3 fights lined up quick, like two and three in like 1 month, like back to back. So they say they're going to hold up until July. When the coaches say they're going to wait until we're going to give them time. Not saying I need that much time, but I listen to my team. It's the reason why I'm going to remain undefeated. I listen to my team. My team say wait until June, July, I'm going to whip. You know what I'm saying? Everybody know a pro is supposed to be moved a certain kind of way. I don't fault Pat for fighting the hard fights. It happens. But I think Pat should still be undefeated. If he'd have waited, took his time, got moved right. If you look at Tony Harrison, for prime example, he fought the right guys at the right time, and he got ranked in the top 10 very, very quickly. You know what I'm saying? And now he's getting a big money fight. Floyd Mayweather, he fought the right guys at the right time. So being moved at the pro got to be moved right. In the first 10, it could be all bums. Get your feet wet. Get used to the different styles. Like, I did fight, like, I had over 100 amateur fights. So I had to adjust to the styles. But truth be told, I was injured in my first seven fights. I never knew that. Now that I know and I've got the recovery and I'm recovering, I'm smooth now. People are going to see the old Blue come back out and showcase the talent I showed as an amateur and the pros. It's not, you cannot name not one top pro who I didn't fight and probably beat. Another time for me to bring that out in the pro game. So I'm very excited about the physical therapy, about getting back in the gym, about getting back in the ring. And I'm about my body recovering. And my body was just really tired for the most part.
All right, Patrick, can you wait that long? I mean, obviously you can take a couple fights beforehand. If KP Boxing is working to get a card going and you guys be on it, would you be okay with that?
So my point I made, I called Blue.
What's up?
You know, he told me about the injury and all this and that. My question then was, so if you can't fight right now, what was the point of the post? As me taking fights before that, I am a welterweight. I fight 147. I'm not going to go down and fight 47 for 3 fights and then come back up to 54. When Blue's coming down to 54 and staying at 54 through all his fights.
I want the belt.
He don't want to meet me at a catchweight. He didn't want to meet me at a catch. His post was 154, no catchweight, no nothing. Or the fight not happening. I knew he was going to cop a plea. Then He kept talking. I'm like, you know what? I agree to all your terms. I want that date. I'm not going to wait 8 months down the line. If I'm such a bum, like he said all over the internet, you's a bum, you lack skill. It don't take that long to get ready for me. It does not take that long to get ready for me. Blue has been a 4-round fighter. Every fight he got, all 7 fights, he's been a 4-round fighter. I'm on my way to 10. My next fight, I want to be a 10. But if my next fight is Blue, we can do an 8. My next fight is 10. I'm this year. I'm looking to get to a title fight. Now, Blue, what belt I hold, it's not really nothing to me. Now, you know what I'm saying?
Blue,
I thought we could fight for
Blue,
that.
You're 5-0, right?
I have 7-0.
I'm 5-0. I'm 5-0. Ballot 5-0.
I got the game.
5-0 over here.
That's Ballot 5-0. I'm just letting y'all know. I see y'all got it going on right now, but I'll talk to Detroit in a minute.
What's up, JB?
I see y'all going back and forth, man. I understand that. I see what's going on. I ain't the one to jump in, but I'm trying to tell you. Go ahead and make it happen. It's going to be good, but
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be great for Detroit. It's bad that Detroit fighters fighting each other, but I'm telling you,
honestly,
you in for a fight, baby. You in for a fight.
I'm gonna check you out of the bus really quick, James.
You in for a fight too.
Who would you pick?
Honestly, who would I pick? I'm rolling with Blue because Blue got me ready to fight back at the. What's up, though, baby? Well, everybody here today. That's what I'm talking about. I'm loving this. Yes, but no, I'm going with Blue because Blue got me ready to fight a lefty at Masonic Temple. And I embarrassed the lefty because of Blue, so therefore I'm going with Blue because he helped me get past a lefty.
All right. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us, Patrick. And Blue, you can stick around, and we're going to interview James. But I appreciate you guys coming on here. I don't know. There's a couple steps. First, you got to get a promoter on it. Second, you got to get the state to approve an 11-4 versus 7-0. I've seen weirder things not get approved by the state of Michigan.
Me too. I agree with that.
They might look at you as more experienced, Patrick. You never know. But if you guys want to make it happen, we'll keep talking about it on the undercard until you guys make it happen. Much love, Patrick, for joining us. Much love, Blue, for joining
us. Thanks for having me.
I greatly appreciate that, and we'll keep everyone updated on it, okay?
Oh, yeah. Throw down for the D.
All right. All right. Take care.
All right. He's out.
All right. And now to the main event. Of the night.
Oh, yeah. What?
James Ballard is here. He's got a big fight going on.
Yes, what is going on? God bless everybody out there to start it off real quick.
He is fighting Detroit Brawl Saturday night, February 6th. This card is absolutely packed. It's Dimitri Salida, and we've had him in here. And you are getting a lot of hype on a national level, James. This is what I want. Obviously, Tony Harrison has... gone ahead from all these young guys, but now we need some of you guys that are in the single digit win columns, Blue, you're included, to catch up with that gap and get more Detroiters out there. Are you ready to be that guy, James?
Yes, I'm ready to step up and showcase my talent and let the world know that I am like a big piece of the puzzle of boxing.
Now introduce your team you got with you here. Okay. I know Claire, your manager. Ooh. But keep going.
Yes, Claire is my manager, Rasheed Lee, and I have Ernie Hauser as my coaches.
All right. So you got a pretty good staff. Claire did a great job of organizing all this, so you got the right person there.
Yes.
Let's talk about your coaches here really quick. It means a lot to me you brought your coaches. We've had trainers in here before, but that's really cool.
Okay, well, my coaches right now, they are completely solid, and they are very, very, very articulate in old school training. Very. So,
like chasing chickens and things like that, like Rocky or...
Yes. Yeah. Wait till the summer get here.
No, you remember what Anthony Burns said, I've never
chased a chicken.
Oh,
so.
My God. Like, it's really about to happen. Like, I can feel the tension. I can feel the eyes on me.
What do you mean when you say old school?
As in, like, I would say, like, the Hagler coaches and... Emmanuel Stewart's and, you know, the Greg Coversons, you know, coaches like that, you know, John Brown and, you know, it goes on and on. Tony Nolan, you know, even Lester, it goes and goes. And I don't discredit no coaches out there that push in new school training. I don't. But me, from the time I started, which was with Tony Nolan, before I left him, and he said, "Look, I ain't got it no more. I don't have the fight to do it no more of boxing. I don't have the fight for boxing." I said, "Well, okay." He said, "But if you go to another coach, keep it old school." I said, "Okay, well, I keep it old school." So anytime I get a trainer that's going with me throughout this road, it's either a Hall of Famer or an old school trainer, or it's mixed in both. In this situation, this team that I have, each one of them has. Have a gift. And I want to be able to put that out there to show them, like, yeah, I'm going to be the main fighter. I'm going to be the guy everybody recognizes, but look who helped me get here. Mm-hmm. Don't ever forget who helped you get to where you need to be or who helped you become what you need to become in life. I don't want nobody to forget that. I want my team to be remembered as long as time go on. I want them to be remembered, and that's just how I feel about my coaches and my team.
Now
I got behind the scenes too.
I want to hear it.
You can't hear behind the scenes because it's behind the scenes.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Okay, but yeah, you know, I understand that makes me worry.
I got warrants, so that makes me worry.
Oh, I ain't dealing with the feds.
Okay, all right, cool.
You don't even worry about it. But yeah, I know I got a good fight coming up. You know, it's going to be a great show. I mean, if I got to go toe to toe, or I just put him to sleep, knock him in a coma or something, it don't matter. You know, it don't matter. It could go either way for him. It don't matter.
But now, only one way for you.
Yeah.
Now you're fighting Nathan Bedwell?
All right.
A guy with a little bit of experience there. Does that concern you at all, or your coaches at all?
No. We prepare for the guy, and, I mean, he going to bring his best. You know, he going to put on the show. He going to do what he can do, and I'm going to just do what I'm supposed to do. See, it's different doing what you're supposed to do and doing what you can do. No, supposed to do is just something that I can't even tell you what's about to happen to this guy. It's so devastating.
Now I want to ask your coaches this. Just being around boxing, this will be his opponent's 21st fight. At that time, they know enough tricks to go a little bit later. How do you prepare your guy to get around those tricks that somebody that's been in the ring 21 times knows to extend a fight and kind of sometimes can make a fighter look not as sharp?
Well, that's a good question, and I can appreciate that question. It's about what you know and the knowledge of boxing, of knowing the punches, that the things you can do off of one punch, of two punches, and the quality of power that your fighter have, and the moves that he can make. So you kind of capitalize upon that and build upon that, where it becomes more devastating than worrying about the opponent. You have your fighter dominating.
Did you have any?
Yeah, well, we just plan to use Balor's strengths. I mean, his speed, his punching power, his footwork. He's not as experienced as his opponent, but he is experienced in the ring. You know what I mean? He does have an amateur background. He has been in the game for 5 years, so he knows what he's doing. The kid knows what he's doing, and he can fight. He's got a great chin, a tremendous punch, a big heart, and I mean, he's one of the fastest light heavyweights I've ever seen. Ever.
James, they're talking about your speed and everything like that, but they also talked about your power. Do you have more speed or do you have more power?
Look, I'm a balance of both. I didn't get the name Equalizer for nothing.
Okay. Which was just given to you by Sugar Hill.
I was, you know, I've been leveling fighters for a while, you know, and I just never really put it out there like that, you know. So to get a name like that from Sugar Hill is awesome. You know, it don't get no bigger than that. It don't get no bigger than that. So,
that's a cool nickname.
It is. And I don't understand some of these fighters that just think they can deal with Balor. What's wrong with them? Do anybody know? Anybody know who I am? They don't know yet, do they?
They've probably been drinking. They've been drinking Flint water.
Probably so. But they don't know who I am yet. So nah, y'all heard it here first. I'm stepping up to be recognized right now. James Balor wants everybody to know I'm coming. I'm here. I said at Royal Oak Music Theater, nobody was safe. I said nobody was safe. But I just didn't get the shot. You know, I just didn't get the shot to get out there to show. Look who I got with me. Look who rolling with me. Look who believe in me. Like, do y'all know who I am? I'm screaming, do y'all know who I am? They don't know. So now, let's show them.
The buzz is going on with the card that's February 6th, which with Salida Promotions is great. Do you remember getting the call from Dimitri Claire? Did you get the call or did James get the call? And how were you guys awarded a spot on this card?
I called Dimitri.
All right. Yeah. See, that's a good manager. Got you right on there.
Hey, she on it.
But the card was full. The card was full. He was prepared to tell me that the card was full. But he was very gracious. I mean, he's a great guy. And he was gracious and very helpful and listened to me, but then very politely told me that the card was full. He already had 10 fighters and all this. We talked a little longer, and he kind of paused a little bit, I'm sorry, and chuckled a little bit and said, all right, Claire, you're good. All right, I'm excited about James. I'm going to put him on the card. So,
what a lot of people don't know that are the casual boxing fans is promoters have to pay per fight, per round, and stuff like that. And so you just can't make a card and keep going and keep going. It comes out of the promoters. Mm-hmm. So that's quite an honor because Dimitri has such the reputation in New York and stuff to get on this card. I know you're going to make a big presence. I mean, look at you. You're all dressed up here. You're ready to go.
Oh, I'm so GQ. I keep you looking right. I got the opportunity.
I feel inadequate. I'm going to be honest with you.
I got the
That's not very hard, Marv.
I'm just saying, like, it's my show and our show, excuse me.
I got the opportunity to fight on the card, and I am very, very grateful for it. I ain't fought in a minute, but I'm proud. I'm proud to be on the card. Very proud to be on the card.
I have to ask you, and this goes with the Detroit crowd that listens to us. Who's the toughest person you've sparred with in the gym? Who's the hardest hitter?
Who? The hardest?
Blue jumps up, but I don't think he's going to blue.
The hardest lefty I ever fought in the gym, like Jim Ward, was Blue. Seriously. Okay. It was. The hardest right-handed fighter I didn't fought in the gym, I would actually have to put that. It's between two people.
Okay.
Tony Harris and Dominique Dawson.
Dominique.
Tony Harris and Dominique Dawson.
Who hits harder, Harrison or Dalton?
I can't put that out there.
You can't put that out there?
I'm gonna leave that. I can't put that out there.
Blue, do you have an opinion on the matter?
I'm gonna leave that power a secret. I'm gonna leave that speed a secret. It's for their opponents to figure out how bad, you know, they're going to take their punishment. But I'm going to leave that a secret. I ain't going to put that out there. You sneaky. You were trying to get me. I'm on to your game, man. I'm on to you, man.
We're all friends.
That topic, both hit hard. Like, both. If you look at the boxing brand, Tony had more knockouts than Dominique. But I've been in there with Dominique since a kid. I fought Tony. And I think Dominique get harder. Tony throws a clean, hard body shot. Tony is quicker. Speed bring power. But I think you put both of them and saw who hit the hardest, I think it's Dominique. Dominique hit hard. The reason why Tony Harrison got more knuckle is Tony Harrison come out and go for it. Dominique is more careful. And that's why Tony Harrison is more known. Because he going for it. Dominique is not. But I think Dominique Dawson hit harder.
Everybody's entitled to it.
Dominique hit hard.
Everybody's entitled to an opinion. So, I mean, I'm just glad I'm a part of boxing. I'm glad I can save the sport and, you know, be a part of something this great, you know, because you do got a great fighter in the studio right now. You really do. Oh,
thanks. I appreciate that.
Marv's got to take the compliment.
I mean, I'm not one to brag about myself.
Please don't do it. Please don't. Please.
But, you know, it's nice to be
recognized. I was there first.
Right.
Well, I got to ask you this too, James, because you're 26 years of age, and this is the time when your metabolism starts to slow down, level off, and stuff like that. Is this going to be your weight for the rest of your career? Is it difficult?
No. Losing weight?
I mean, you're going to reach a point where you're not going to be able to lose.
It's just going to
be solid. Exactly.
No, this is not my final fight weight, no.
So give us an idea. Or is it behind the scenes?
Okay, idea.
No gun for the
phone. Nobody's safe.
No gun for the phone.
Nobody's safe?
Nobody's safe. Stay on pins and needles. Nobody's safe.
Blue thinks you're going to drop 20 pounds and go down to 152, 154, what?
154, come on down.
Well, anything can happen.
Well, we're a week and a half away. All right, what are you walking at, if you don't mind us asking?
I'm about 170, 177, 178.
Oh, me
like
too. That's good.
Is that where your coaches want you, about a week and a half out, or is it right on?
It's perfect.
Okay.
It's perfect.
Good weight. Yeah.
So walk us through. We've done this with Sugar Hill before because each coach is a little bit different, but making weight is a huge part of boxing. It's a part of the profession that people don't get to see. As coaches, how do you walk Patrick through that last week? How much action is he actually going to get fight week?
Hold up. For one, I look better than Patrick. Okay, I don't know who Patrick is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going Boozer again. Okay. I'm sorry, James Ballard.
I'm so GQ right now. Okay, but no.
Don't ahead. Be upset. It Brad never gets names right.
Even
if he got like the person right, he would have messed your name up.
Okay. I meant James Ballard here. So walk us through the week for James.
Well, last week was the. This week here, I should say, is a grind week. We'll get things going. The last week, which is next week, will be the week we cut back a little bit. pull back a little bit in the hard training and keep him loose, keep him feeling pretty good, do some pad work, heavy bag. But the hard work is already done. The hard work is already done weeks before. So we come down to the last grind, and which is this week. And the next week, we kind of pull back a little bit, cut back, save his strength and energy, and it's time to roll, we roll.
Now, him being so close to the weight he's going to be fighting at, are you just going to try to make him lose that weight the day before during a workout, or are you going to actually do some water dehydration?
No, not at all. The I believe the contract is for 183.
Okay.
And so he's
so pretty, he's got gain in.
Oh, he'd be, yeah, be pretty, just great. Yeah, he'd be, make that weight in some.
Wear big shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's should be very well.
Now, really quickly, Leandre, give James a compliment. He's been in the ring a couple times with you. Why is James Ballard the next big thing out of Detroit?
All right, so whenever I talk about Ballard, I talk about he's an old school fighter. He's nothing new school. He ain't trying to have his hands down. He ain't being pretty. He don't have his hands down. He not being pretty. He ain't showboating. James Ballard come out to fight. He remind me of a fighter from the 80s. Like, I just see him in the old crunk basement sparring because he don't have none of the new school stuff. So I like Ballard. He's strong. He's fast. He come to fight. So it's not going to be a boring fight. He come to fight. So old school. Ballard's old school. Old school boxer.
Now, I have to say, who's helping you spar? You're working out Jab's gym. Who's helping you as sparring partners getting you ready for this fight? Give a really, shout out to him.
Really, we sparring everybody. Everybody you probably can think of in Detroit that's really worth sparring, we sparring them. You know, because I'm in shape for everybody. Really, I'm in shape for everybody. My conditioning trainer is Rasheed Lee. Now, come on. Come on. Like, for real, it don't get no better than that. Like, I mean, ain't suck it up. That's what you hear. You cry what you crying for. Ain't none of that. Ain't none of that.
There's no crying in boxing.
No, ain't none of that. So, I mean, I don't get away with nothing. Man, I had to give up milk and cookies, man.
What?
I'm heard what? About that. Yeah, milk's favorite cookie. I had to give it all up.
See, you know what
Nabisco? I'm heard about
that it. That right there is why I didn't become a boxer.
I'm gonna slip in my computer bag. I'm going to have Chips Ahoy for you and milk waiting thank for you after you win, dude.
You
just find me in the audience. You'll be like, hey, buddy, I know
hear
you
got
me.
The Reese cup kind.
They do. I've heard.
Please bring it back. Bring it back for me. I'm heard about it. But, yeah, so – you know, I didn't spar with Dominique Daw and Tony Harris. I didn't spar with a couple of people. You know, who else? Craig Lewis. I didn't, and that's a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the baddest heavyweights in the city right now. You know, who else? I didn't. Well, let me see. I mean, I want to get some good names out there because you asked me. You want to know some of the good names? I didn't spar Isaiah. I didn't spar. What is that guy name? He's Dominique Dawson's sparring partner. I wish I
Adonis.
Is it Adonis?
The heavyweight, the world champion.
Nope. It's another guy. I can't think of his name. But next time y'all have Dominique Dawson down here, which I will have him here one day, ask him. I didn't spar him.
Wade.
I didn't spar Wade.
Antonio Wade.
Yeah, Antonio Wade, which
he's also on the fight card.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yep, which is also on the fight card. I didn't spar almost. I can't really think of their names right now because I'm just focused on what I'm supposed to do. But it's some guys out there. It's some guys out there that's worth looking at because I spar them.
Now let's turn it back to the coaches again one time. Road work. How much road work is he getting in or how much are you encouraging? And during fight week, because I like the behind-the-scenes stuff, how much you cut down on road work?
Last week I wanted an hour a day. And this coming week we'll do a half an hour, 2 hours a day.
Okay.
So we're trying to keep him busy on the road. The fight week, maybe 2 miles a day, just to keep his legs loose.
Okay, and the fights are on a Saturday, so you cut that off at on Thursday, or you even let him run that on Thursday?
No, we'll cut it off on Wednesday.
Okay.
Stop him running and just have him taking short walks.
Relax, you know, relax the legs.
Relax and make sure no cramping. Right. That's the one thing that I hear that is the main concern is the cramping of the road work during fight weeks. Yeah. It probably has to do with people cutting weight, too, with the water dehydration and stuff. Yeah. But him going up in weight Wednesday, that seems good. I mean, James, you look like a hungry guy. I know you're out there going the road work. Some people come in here and they're like, I'm getting in that road work. And I'm like, I give him that look. I'm like,
you ain't doing that. You ain't doing that.
You don't look like road warriors, but you look like a road warrior.
You brought the elevator up. I'm not sure that you're doing the road work.
Yeah, I loved it when we were at the other place, the Hamtramck place, because you knew the guys that were doing the work. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would take the stairs. The other guy's like, no, I'll wait for the elevator. Yeah.
Or even the guys that would take the stairs when they got up to the floor. They'd
be like, Mark.
No, I'm doing the road work through this. we have a call if you want to take it.
Yeah, let's take the call.
All right, here we go. Coming up right now.
All right, welcome to the undercard. Who do we have here?
It's Steve Thomas.
Hey, Steve, how are you today? You got a question for James, or you got anybody you want to talk to?
Yes, I've got a question for James. What do you think about the boxing beef that's going on between Boss Man and DeAndre White?
I mean, look, it's all great for hype. It's all great for hype. He can say, I'm the baddest guy in the world, and I'm going to knock him out in the first round, and they can go back and forth, all right? It's all good for publicity. But in the end, they got to fight. I mean, punches don't talk. They just produce. And what they produce is pain and punishment, okay?
So
in the end, they can say what they want. Left and right don't do nothing but go forward. Okay, and come from different angles. So I appreciate the hype. I love the hype. I'm all about the hype. You know, I love the hype. But just make it happen. I mean,
do you think it's gonna go down?
Do I think it's going to go down? Two warriors ain't. Yeah. I mean, if it don't go down, only thing that'll happen if it don't go down is another. They'll probably both end up fighting for a different belt somewhere else. That's about it.
Good
if
luck
it don't
on
happen.
Your fight, man.
You don't need luck when you prepare, baby. You don't need luck when you prepare. Now, come on now, talk to me now.
Hey, you ain't got to get ready if you stay ready.
Oh, there you go. Hey, that's that old school stuff right there. That's what I'm talking about. All right. I feel that. I like this
show. I'm an old school fighter from the D.
Oh, that's what's up. Okay.
So are you going to be there February 6th?
Oh, most definitely.
All right. Who else are you looking?
Scott Buck.
All right. Who else are you looking forward to seeing on this card?
Antonio Wade, I think it is. Erskine Wade's son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From Norway.
If he could fight like his daddy, he'd be. You guys have a great night.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Now, Blue, I got to call you out on this, though. I think you posted, when I was looking at the original fight comments, that you said this would be Pacquiao versus Mayweather.
That's how I feel. I
don't know if your head can fit through that door on the way out. Come on. It's not that big.
No. Not enough. On the scale of it, on the fight. People might expect it to be a big bang out. I know Pat wanted, but I'm finna come and bang with Pat. When we could bang all day, I can't come on and bang with it and make it be a fun and dreadful XM fight. We'll come on and box them. I'm gonna hit without getting hit. I'm gonna swim without getting wet.
So you aren't talking the magnitude of the fight, people waiting forever.
No. I'm just talking about this, the style of the fight.
Okay, I got
me boxing clean, him trying to fight.
I gotcha.
I'm gonna play chess, he's gonna play checkers, and checkmate.
We got to ask Claire a few questions because she's here. You give compliments to James' team here. Tell us what you like about the team and tell us a little bit about James Ballard, something we don't know that you know.
I know about James Ballard that you don't know?
Oh, this could get good. Maybe if you have pictures.
I'm going to save that for last.
Do you have like a high school yearbook picture or anything? Right. That'd be good.
Right. Oh, my gosh. This team, our team, we're like a family. And I know everyone says that about their team, but we're a tight circle. You know what I mean? There's nothing we don't share, the good, the bad, the ugly, the excitement, all of it. I mean, we're super tight. I mean, Rashid Lee, I mean, he doesn't even get people in condition. He builds machines. I mean, I've heard people in the gym calling him the devil, and it's and I'm not even kidding. I mean, it's right. So, I mean, and he's amazing, and he doesn't let you slack, and then and then James, of course, takes it all with stride, and, you know, Rashid tells him to do something, he does, he'll do 10 more. You know, he's not going to be broke down by anyone. So it just works for them, and they have just this great relationship. It's like, big brother, little brother picking on each other, but they get the work done, and it's I couldn't ask for anything better. And then you got Ernie, who's like this magnificent defense coach and old school, and his pad work, I mean, when I watch their pad work, it's beautiful. I mean, I you think of boxing, you think of violence, but it's beautiful. It's just they're drift compatible. They're on time. I mean, everything's just perfect. When they get something right, they're high-fiving in the ring, and they're, you know, doing their little dance, and and it's great. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything else. I mean, than this team.
Oh, yeah. And
James, I'll tell you what you don't know about James. His favorite cookie's Oreo.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean.
He misses Oreos.
Bringing up Greg Coverson is actually an old school fighter and was actually the trainer of Ernie House. So can you see how well I'm connected?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I respect that about you because you respect the game. You know the lineage and stuff like that. I like that. And your coach is probably like that. It shows respect. A lot of fighters nowadays, it's something I've always liked about Tony Harrison. He knows the history of the sport and everything like that. That's great. You pay tribute to that and everything like that.
Keep it knowledgeable.
Gotcha. All right, so predictions. Is this going to be a knockout, decision, what round?
Okay.
It always freaks out the coaches when I say that, too. Like, no predictions.
My prediction
running
is,
in fear, maybe?
My prediction is if he can't outthink me, I do what I want.
That's deep.
That's it. If he can't outthink me, I do what I want.
Can he outthink you?
No.
Okay.
I'm just waiting. We Brad asks this question all the time, and I'm just waiting for one boxer to just go, pain.
Pain. Prediction. Pain. Pain. Yeah, exactly. Pain's coming.
Yep, that's about it. He can't outthink me because he don't know what I'm thinking.
Right.
That's just the truth. So, I mean, I figure him out the first 3 seconds. That's all I need. I just need to figure them out like 3 seconds. That's all I need.
And I have to ask, do you have a contract past this fight with Salida Promotions? Or is this a tryout? Being honest.
It's a tryout.
Okay.
It's a tryout.
Because Dimitri we had him in here 2 weeks ago. He has big plans to do this Detroit Brawl. At least I think he said 4 to 6 times a year.
Yeah.
You haven't fought since last year at Shenandoah, right?
Right.
So you want more action?
Yeah, that was a first round knockout. I figured him out in two.
Okay. So, performance wise, it is a tryout. So you're going to go out there and take care of business and do what you do, hurt people.
Yes, that's my job. That's what they trained me for, and that's what they want me to go do. I got orders.
All right, everybody, you got to check out this fight. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. It's at 500 Temple Street, Detroit, Michigan. It is February 6th. Detroit Brawl, James Ballard, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome.
Leandre Blue White, thanks for stopping in here. We want to thank Patrick Boozer for coming in.
It's going to be a good card.
The card's amazing.
I can't wait to see Little Red fight, but I'm really excited about Wade.
We get a second chance to see Junior Wright. We've seen him last year.
I like Junior, but I think Wade got a lot of skill. I mean, Wade had we fought once. It was a very, very good fight. It was like a gym fight, but it was Wade got skill. I'm excited to see what Wade do in Little Red.
It's gonna be great, dude.
Yeah, I'm excited.
If Jimmy's gonna be there, you know it's a big fight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't go to the small ones.
Yeah. So, so everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Undercard, and if you're listening on podcast, thank you so much.
Coming up, it is not The Corner with K-Hub. We actually have a new show that they are debuting tonight. It is The Metal Jukebox with Jer Walker.
Ooh.
And I do believe Karen will be around to introduce them. But, awesome. So take us out, Brad.
No, we're going to let James, who's going to be victorious next week, say goodbye to everybody and close the show, buddy.
All right. I would like to say, everybody, be blessed on your byways, through the highways, and from Team Ballard.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.